Okay, everyone, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine.
Good. Okay, we're going to continue today with lesson three. It's more about food. Looking through this, I think it's almost like a cooking lesson in English. So there's a few questions I'll ask. I hope you are good cooks. And looking at this, well, the different questions, some of them, you know, are more difficult than others. I think the most difficult one is number four, how do you hold chopsticks? And number six is how, you know, is sake, or, you know, made? And the answer is, to me, a little bit complicated. If you read it, it sounds okay, but when you're listening to it as a listener, it's very difficult to understand. So maybe I'll fix it up and make it a little easier. I'll see what you have, and when we get there, I'll talk more about that. And then also the way you prepare fish and seafood, there's different ways you can do that. Anyway, there's first question number one. And it says, why do Japanese people eat sea bream on happy occasions? This answer basically is okay. Maybe it's a little long if you don't like some of the words, like, you know, for example, on festive occasions or on happy occasions, or on occasions such as weddings and banquets and graduation ceremonies and babies' birthdays, you know, you could do that. So we don't have to say all of these, you know, words. So they have here, what do Japanese eat sea bream on happy occasions? So on happy occasions, such as wedding and things. So anyway, it's fine. And let's just see what you have. So if you don't mind, I'll start with you. Why do Japanese eat sea bream on happy occasions?
Because in general, sea bream is a king of fish in Japan. In many ways, just like Mount Fuji is a king of mountains in Japan, it's a symbolic fish, I think. Its shape is very beautiful and tastes nice, very nice. And we eat sea bream on happy occasions, such as the traditional Japanese wedding banquet. And the word tai sounds very similar to medetai, meaning happiness. And the typical sea bream is usually red. It turns brighter red when it's cooked. So I think it's Thai, its red color has traditionally been a color of celebration in a long time. So I think it's associated with the sun.
Okay, and celebration for a long time.
For a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think for those reasons that we eat sea bream on a happy occasion.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Just be careful. One thing is, you know, the word Thai is, you know, sounds similar to medetai, which means happy or auspicious. But the word Thai, which is the same word for sea bream, that's an important element I think you need to say. I think even the answer here says it's because Thai, the Japanese word for sea bream, sounds similar to, you know, medetai, meaning what, auspicious or happiness or something. Okay, so don't forget that little part. It's kind of important. It's similar. There's a question about why don't Japanese like 4 and 9, the numbers? And they say, oh, that's because 4 means death. I go, oh, 4 means death. Why? You know, it's all, you're leaving out parts of it. So the word in Japanese, the word for 4 is she. She also means 4, and it also means death. So you have to be very clear, yeah. So the same thing with this Thai. Thai is the Japanese word for sea bream. Sea bream sounds like medetai. Okay, good. What's your answer for why do Japanese eat sea bream on happy occasions?
Yes, the sea bream has been an important offering to Shinto deities since the ancient times. And an offering, it is often served as a home with head and tail. We call it Okashira Tsuki. And the happy occasions such as weddings, coming of age, that Okashira Tsuki style is served. The reason why this sea bream and Okashiratsuki style are auspicious are mainly three. First, the name of the sea bream, which is Tai in Japanese, has a similar sound with Medetai in Japanese, which means auspicious. And also the fish color, red, is normally considered as auspicious in Japan. And lastly, the Okashiratsuki form of head and tail symbolize to carry things out from the beginning to end.
Mm. Okay, good. Right, very good. Yeah, there's a reference here. This is Japanese people eat sea bream often complete with its head and tail, and there's no reason why. So the reason why do Japanese eat this sea bream whole with served it with the head and tail is because it means, you know, there's always a beginning to end and a completeness of life. So, good. Okay, that's the other reason that it's served whole. Okay, what's your answer for this question?
Yes, Japanese often eat sea breams on festive occasions like wedding banquet, often complete with head and tail. This is because the Japanese word sea bream, tai, sounds similar to the word medetai, meaning happy. And also, red color of the sea bream has traditionally been regarded as the color of joy and celebration because it is associated with the sun.
Okay, all right, good. And the same question for you. We'll have everyone practice this one. Okay, why do Japanese eat sea bream on happy occasions?
Japanese people eat sea bream on happy occasions, and they eat, we eat sometimes whole fish from tail to head to tail.
Head to tail.
And this is mainly for three reasons. And firstly, in Japanese, the sea bream is called tai. And the tai sounds like medetai, which means happiness. Then secondly, sea bream changes the color into beautiful red when it is cooked. Mm-hmm. And the color of red is regarded as happy color because it has association with the sun. And the thirdly, whole fish represents completeness of life.
Okay. All right, good. All right. Sounds fine. What's your answer for why do Japanese eat sea bream on happy occasions?
Yes. Sea bream is called tai in Japanese. At several celebratory occasions, people eat fish, tai, complete with head and tail. Tai is chosen because the fish has the same last syllable as the word medetai or auspicious. And serving fish with head and tail celebration shows that everything is present, thus symbolizing completeness of life.
Okay.
And it's a sign of good fortune. And the Thai color is red. That symbolizes brightness, prosperity, and sincerity associating with the sun.
Okay, good. All right, good. And what's your answer then? What is...
Okay. Yes, we do it on happy occasions such as wedding ceremonies. Sea bream is tai in Japanese, which is associated with medetai, Japanese word, which means auspicious, happy. Although this is a kind of wordplay. In addition to that, the color of sea bream is red, which also means auspicious and happy. The sun, blaze, blood, all things are red, which is the source of energy. So it means auspicious and energetic or happy.
Hmm. Okay, good. Yeah, I think these answers sound good. So practice what you wrote. Okay, I think, you know, everyone had a little bit different, which is fine. I think that's good that you wrote something that you're comfortable with. Okay, it's always interesting that they say because, you know, color red is associated with the sun. Right? Do you know that children in Japan draw the sun red? Children in America draw yellow. So in America, they go, why is it associated with the sun? The sun's yellow, you know. But that's fine. This is okay, of course, it's in Japan. But yeah, but not every country sees the sun as red. You know, that's why I couldn't for, why is it? You know, they say this is, the Japanese flag has a sun in the middle. And I go, it's red. Sun is yellow. But anyway, this is nothing to do with the test. But just to let you know, the perception is a little different. Okay. Okay, let's go. You can, that's fine. You can just keep it. I'll start with you this time. Why do the next one is about miso bean paste. How long has miso been used in Japan? Question number 8 also talks about miso. I will ask more about miso then. But right now, I'll just talk about how long it's been used in Japan. Okay? So how long has miso been used in Japan?
Although miso has been widely used in the in the Muromachi period, which was about 600 years ago, among the common people. But the original form of miso has already been used in the Nara period, which was about which was in the 8th century.
Yes. Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Yeah, this one for history is probably short, so that's fine. Let's pass the microphone. Maybe somebody added more information. What? How long has miso been used in Japan?
There are many different views about its origin, and it is said that the primitive form of miso could trace as back as early as the Jomon period.
Okay, could be traced
as early as the Jomon period, which is more than 2,000 years ago. But the first mention of it in the literature appeared during the Nara period. Since then, it was developed, and miso has been widely used since the Muromachi period. Mm-hmm. So we have a long history of using miso, more than 1,000 years.
Okay, good. All right, that sounds fine. Good. How long has miso been used in Japan?
Although miso has been widely used since the Muromachi period, it is about 14th to 16th century, the original form of miso is said to have existed in Nara period, which is the 8th century. And it is also probable that the Buddhist monks brought the predecessor of miso originated in China to Japan around the 6th century, together with related fermented miso-based foods.
Okay, good. Be careful again about this period, the Nara period. Anytime you mention a period name, Muromachi or Nara, it's the Nara period, during the Nara period, during the Muromachi period, okay. And even though it's a very slight grammar mistake, if you say it, it makes your English level sound much better, okay? Good. How long have Japanese been using miso?
One theory says the original form of miso was brought back to Japan in the 8th century by Buddhist monks who went over to China to study Buddhism. But in those days, miso was very expensive for common people, except monks or the upper class. And it became popular among common people in the Muromachi period during the 14th to 16th century.
Okay. What I'm saying is laughing is because it became popular during the 14th through 16th century, which means it's not popular now. So your answer to that, you said it's kind of the same thing. Make it clear that it became popular during the Muromachi period, which was the Muromachi period, you know, maybe you could say, which started in what, the 14th century?
I should say it became popular in the Muromachi period.
Yeah,
from
the 14th century. It's a little bit clear. Yeah, it's this happens a lot too when people say during the period that people started wearing Western clothes during the Meiji period from, you know, 1868 until what was it, 1912, and it's not, oh, they don't wear Western clothes after 1912. When you define the period like that. So sometimes, which was from the 14th century, or that would be a little more clear. It doesn't end it. Right, do you understand?
Okay, so I shouldn't mention the end of the period.
Probably, yeah, it's a little clearer if you don't. Which started in the 14th century, or which was in the 14th century. It sounds a little bit clearer. It's like I say, the same thing with there's a quote. Coming up here, one of these lessons is about when did Japanese wear Western clothes? And we started wearing Western clothes during the Meiji period from, you know, 1868 until 1912. Mm-hmm. But it sounds, oh, after 1912, they didn't wear clothes. So when you do that. So sometimes you think about how the answer sounds, maybe. But, you know, people started using miso during the Muromachi period. The Muromachi period was from the the 14th to maybe 16th century. Okay, something like that. Make it so it's not connected to sound like it was only used during those two few hundred years. Okay, good. But that's a very technical point. It's really fine, basically. Okay? Okay, everyone's saying the same thing about miso. Does anyone have any other information or something you have about miso and the history you want to check or you want to say?
I have a question.
Okay, sure.
Mother Ansa says original form of miso. And somebody said primitive form of miso. What's the difference? Original form of miso is present...
Yeah, you could say...
The same as present miso ingredients and how they make. Mm. But primitive form is a little bit different.
Well, it sounds a little different, but actually it isn't. I'm trying to think. It's hard. How do I say what the difference is? Original form, the primitive form, basically it's almost the same.
Almost the same.
Yeah. You know, original form is this. A primitive form means not refined, not developed form. But, you know, the original form is also something like that.
Fermentation process is about the same, but something is different. Ingredients.
But primitive means a very basic...
Soybean mm-hmm. paste, fermented, salt added. That's the main ingredients.
Right.
Primitive form means, I wonder what it is.
Oh, okay. Well, primitive form is like just a very basic, you know, form. And original form is just, you know, how would I say, it's kind of like the same. I don't think there's much difference. Okay, unfortunately, I'm trying to think here, and I really can't think of much different. Primitive means a very old and very basic, where original doesn't always necessarily mean real old. It could be 10 years ago. You know, the original keitais were very big. But primitive keitai, we probably wouldn't say, right? So I think it's just the idea of how old.
It's salary is different.
Yeah, a little
German
bit.
German period. Some
sure.
And from China.
Right, so how old, depending on how old it is. The primitive makes it sound more old.
Okay. That's why I chose it.
That's why you chose primitive, yeah. Okay, Jomon period. Okay.
Sounds older.
Okay, good. Okay, So we've all talked about the history. Let's see, whose turn for tofu?
Tofu, yes.
I think you... There we go. Okay. So this next question, three, asks about why is tofu said to be a health food? Okay?
Tofu is said to be a healthy food because it's high in protein and low in calories, and it has less fat than milk or meat, and also it contains vitamin B and potassium and calcium.
Okay. How do you eat tofu? How do people eat tofu? How do you eat tofu?
Japanese people eat tofu by we cook miso soup and we put a tofu in it, and then we usually put tofu in hot pot dishes.
Okay.
And also we eat tofu as it is in the summer.
Okay, as it is, it's kind of. Only as it is,
with minced green onions and some condiments.
Okay, good. All right, yeah, I know what you mean. So these eat it as it is, but usually, just to say a little bit like you did, we eat it as it is, maybe cold or fresh, not cooked, with other food, and we use it with eat it with condiments. Okay, good. Let's ask the same question. Why is tofu said to be a health food?
Yes, tofu is made from soybean, curd, and low fat, low cholesterol, low carb, but with high protein food.
Okay.
It also offers many valuable nutritional benefits, including high concentration of B vitamins, easy digestible proteins, isoflavone, and minerals like calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, zinc, etc. And it's said to protect against certain type of cancer and be helpful in diminishing menopausal and menstrual symptoms for women. Osteoporosis and other bone disease also makes stronger teeth.
Mm. Okay, good.
Lots of benefits.
Should have it every day, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let's ask him. Why is tofu said to be a health food? Let me just say, people ask me, what's the difference between health food and healthy food? And that's, again, a difficult question. Health food is almost like a set phrase. It's a health food. So some things, I'm not sure, but what is that? Collagen? Not collagen. What is that? Oh, I can't remember. Something like that. Food is a health food. So the green drink is that. And what's the other stuff? Kanten or something like that. It's considered to be health food. Right, I'm not sure, but healthy food could be general food that is healthy. You know, vegetables. Most in general terms, most vegetables are healthy. You know, carrots and onions and lettuce and cucumbers are just healthy food. They're not a health food like specifically very beneficial for your health. They're just standard. Whereas health food means something that, as a food, it has really much more powerful, you know, proteins or powerful vitamins and minerals and benefits than just regular food in general. Okay? So you could, you know, tofu is a healthy food, you could even say, because of this. But health food has a standard meaning of being something that's particularly good as it is, with a little bit more benefits than just regular healthy food like, you know, cucumbers or carrots or something. Okay? And you don't have to say that in your answer, but just because students ask me often, what's the difference between health food and healthy food? Okay, and that's my interpretation. Okay, so what is your answer for why is tofu said to be a health food?
Tofu is a healthy food because it is low in calories and high in protein. it contains and also less fat than meat and milk. It contains minerals such as it is rich in calcium, vitamin B, and potassium. So it is very healthy food.
Okay, good. Let's go to him. Why is tofu said to be a health food?
It is nutritious and high in protein, potassium, calcium, and vitamin B. And low in calorie. It is easy to digest, and it has it contains less fat than the milk and meat. Hmm.
Okay.
That's all.
That's all? Okay, good. Let's ask him. Let's go to number five. We'll talk about chopsticks later. Okay. Yeah. We'll go to number five. Don't worry, I forgot my chopsticks upstairs. So, what? Anything else about why tofu is said to be a healthy food? Anything? Because I'm not going to ask everybody this question. And again, how do you eat tofu? Like, she gave a good answer. We eat tofu at hot pot meals. We put it in miso soup. And you can eat it as it is with condiments such as soy sauce, grated ginger, and green onions. Okay? Good. So let's go to number five. What types of cooking techniques are used to prepare fish commonly eaten in Japan? I'll let him answer first, and then I'll make some comments about this answer. Let's see what he has to say. Okay?
Okay. So number five. Okay.
Yeah.
Though Japanese are famous for eating raw fish like sashimi and sushi, we also eat cooked fish. And the most common technique is the grilling. And before it is grilled, the fish is slightly salted or in some cases marinated with teriyaki sauce. And fish such as mackerel and yellowtail are sometimes broiled over low fish.
Over low heat.
Using soy sauce or miso. Also, shrimp and white meat are eaten in tempura and deep fried. And boiled fish is also popular with the seasonings of sake or mirin, sugar, soy sauce, ginger, and green onion.
Hmm. Okay, good. Yeah, actually he covered the boiling, which is not here. Good. So, if you look at the answer here, they on the first, the second line, they say the most common cooking technique is grilling, and then on line four, they say mackerels are sometimes broiled over low heat using soy sauce or miso. So, what's the difference between broiling and grilling? Do you know?
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, that's why it's a cooking school today. Yeah, you know.
But as far as I checked,
okay,
the difference between roast and broil is length of heat. Lengthy heat.
Okay, so did you say roast?
Roast. Roast and
grilling?
Well, broiled.
Okay, well, all right, go ahead. You say roast and...
Okay, so roast chicken, roast normally takes time, mm-hmm. but in the case of broiled or grilled in a short time, and broiled, well, is like heating with a pan, but sometimes with direct fire, mm. but grilled is normally direct fire with a grill. How can I say grilled?
With a grill.
Grill.
Oh, okay.
But when I checked, yakisoba or yakitori, well, they sometimes are used grilled, but as for kabayaki, roasted is used. So that's why I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, a lot of you know why these answers use different words? Because people don't know how to cook. They don't know the real term, so they just say grilling and barbecuing and roasting and broiling. Okay. All right. So what's the difference? It's, as they say, people don't really pay much attention. It's broiled, it's grilled. Basically, they're fine to interchange. Okay. Now, he said something was in the... Broiling, what my understanding is, heat comes from the top. So you know those little, like, cookers you have in your little cooking stove at home? The fish cooker. That's mostly... Well, the people say grilling, but actually broiling, I understand, was cooking with heat coming from the top. The heat source is on top. We're grilling, the heat source is on the bottom, like a barbecue. But you could say that's a grill because people don't really use the, you know, unless you're at the cooking school in France, people aren't going to care. They say, oh no, it's grilled. I don't know why they say broiled eel. Most of the time it's considered, kabayaki is broiled eel instead of grilled, but to me it's grilled. Yeah, he's got a question.
Cooking style of broil was from ancient times in Europe? Because my question is, when I say in Japanese, broil is niru.
That's boil, niru. Boil. Yeah, and what? Okay, let's go to basics to answer the question. In all of this, I would think, I don't care what it is, if it's using ami kind of thing, grilled. Why? So you don't get confused with boiled and broiled. Right? Boiled is niru, like cooking in a pan with the sauce. So I would always suggest you use grilled because it's. I think this is easier to say than broiled. Isn't it easier to say grilled? Broiled? Yeah.
Same thing.
Same thing, okay. And boiled with B-O-I-L-E-D, right? And, but anyway, grilled, my understanding is it's from the bottom. So sometimes you can say yakitori is barbecued chicken. You can also say that too. It's kind of a barbecued chicken with teriyaki sauce. Okay, so again, grilled is usually with the heat from the bottom. Broiled, heat from the top. So like, you know the French dessert, the creme brulee? Sometimes they use a little heater. But technically if you use an oven, it's broiled because the heat comes from the top on top of the pudding. And then roasted is in where the heat comes from all directions, dry heat. So roasting is like a roasted chicken. Sometimes the heat comes from more sources, top and bottom. That's why an oven is always usually roasted. But roasted also refers to meats like chicken and beef and pork. You don't roast bread, right? Even though you use an oven, it's the same oven cooking chicken. When it cooks chicken, it's roasted. When it cooks bread, it's baked. So flour things, meaning flour, you know, breads, cakes, cookies, pies are all baked because they have flour. Potatoes are roasted. Potatoes are both baked potato, roasted potatoes. Actually, they can be both. Baked potato usually refers to whole potato with skin. Roasted potatoes are usually cut potatoes, roasted with herbs and oil, and maybe cooked together with chicken. So anyway, not to make this a cooking school, but I think basically when they have here line 4, mackerel are sometimes grilled over low heat using soy sauce or miso. It's probably less confusing to use the same word.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Can I give me example for boiling? Broiling, it's from the upper.
Yeah, broiling is from the upper. So,
for example, what kind of food?
Didn't you say broil from heat or from all directions?
That's roasting.
Roasting.
Roasting, yeah. Again, I don't think. I'm sorry, I'll answer your question. At the guide test, the interviewers are probably not French chefs or Japanese, you know, chefs. So they probably won't pay much attention to the difference if it's broiled fish or grilled fish or whatever. And you asked an example of broiled? Broiling in Japan, and actually, you know, one of the things I know is broiled, as I said, was creme brulee I can think of. It's a French pudding that has sugar on top, and when you put heat on top, it melts the sugar. And many times in American cooking stoves, the heat is from the top, so broiling. But in Japanese ones, I don't know, usually it's from the top, right, the gas, but usually you say grilling. But again, it's not much, you know, difference in the sense that they both cook almost the same.
Okay.
So,
what's the difference between grilled and barbecue?
No, same.
It sounds like barbecue is outdoor cooking.
Well, it could be, yeah. That's,
you can use.
Yeah, barbecue, yeah. You could, yeah, maybe that's an example. Barbecue sometimes outside, but I don't know if that's the real meaning. Over an open fire, maybe. You know. Anyway, okay, so let's go on. So we have different ways you cook. I hope I didn't confuse you more by mentioning. The students always ask me, what's the difference between grilling and broiling and, you know, barbecuing and baking and roasting? And okay, so let's try this again. How do Japanese cook fish?
If the fish is fresh enough, sashimi or sliced raw fish is preferred by many people. And we also eat cooked fish, and the most common cooking technique is broiled after being lightly salted. Also, some fish like shrimp or white meat fish are deep fried or boiled over low heat with soy sauce, sake, and mirin.
Okay, good. That's fine. Now, what's another technique?
Another technique includes grilled and seasoned with soy sauce, sugar, and sake.
Like teriyaki, right, okay, good. I'm thinking, even though maybe not so much Japanese food, pan fried, there's a pan frying way. So I know that Japanese use the French word meunière, and in America we just say pan fried. So lots of times salmon, steak, or what else do you pan fry? Could be, well, I do it all the time.
Salmon,
yeah, salmon is pan fried. You should bata saute or something like that. That's pan frying, sauteing, or meunière style with a little flour. So that's pan frying. So you also pan fry salmon, swordfish steaks, okay?
Yes, but the pan fried fish sounds like Western style.
Yeah. I know, that's why it's not here. I know, exactly.
It's good to mention in the guide test.
If you forget something else, you can add it, right? I don't think it's wrong. Yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying. To give you some mini examples, it's also, you know, people pan fry fish like salmon. Okay.
I'm sorry, I'd like to check the difference of the word broil and grill again.
Mm-hmm.
And if in Japan, the fish griller, fish we use in the gap, broil fish in the with gas, the broiler, so the heat comes with a simple style, the gas heat from the come from the top. So it is good better to use broil to...
If you want. I know you're asking. If you want to say technically, I would think yes. But say what you're comfortable with. Both are really going to be okay.
Okay.
Right? But people ask me the technical difference. What is the technical difference? And as I say, I think that little, what is it, sakanayaki thing is probably a broiler because it comes from the top.
Technically, that is the broiler.
Yes.
But not griller.
Not griller. But either word is okay. Say what you want to say. I don't think the guide test people are cooks and they're going to say, no. You grill it, you broil it, you don't grill it. Right? So that's all I'm saying. You understand? Okay? So.
Can I ask you one question?
Okay. Maybe pass the microphone, sure.
I'd like to confirm the meaning of English. Cooking is always associated with heat. Because slicing raw fish is very high-tech skills you need. Sometimes very difficult to slice evenly, beautifully. Like a lot of fugu, it's very paper thin slice and delayed. Yeah. But if you say cooking technique, slicing raw fish could be included. All cooking means always associated with heat.
Well, yes and no. So I asked students, how do you cook sashimi? And they go, oh, sashimi is slices of raw fish. You put the raw fish on the thing. I said, if you cook sashimi, sashimi ja nakunaru, right? You can't cook sashimi. But his answer, I'm being funny, but his answer is usually, think of it as preparing. What types of preparing, how do Japanese prepare fish to eat?
That's easy.
Yes, so I think you could say sashimi is fine. We, you know, how do we, what are cooking techniques? Well, we don't really cook it with heat, but sashimi is, you know, basically raw fish, so we eat fish raw. How do you, you know, prepare it to eat? We prepare it as raw fish, sliced thinly. Okay? Yeah, so sometimes they ask you, what is, how do you cook sashimi? And they're telling me, I say, you don't, can't cook sashimi. You know, it's a play on words, kind of like a, so, okay, so that's cooking. Sometimes don't think of it as heat always, you know. Sometimes we say make. How do you make sashimi? How do you prepare sashimi? Maybe is more technically correct. But sometimes, you know, we cooked, you know, something. Mostly it means with heat, yes. You know, we cooked sandwiches. We made sandwiches, right? Okay. Let's see, where do we go? Why don't we try her? Who? Your turn. Let's try ways you cook and prepare fish for eating.
There are some cooking techniques, and the Japanese people who are good at cutting fish sometimes slice raw fish and then eat sashimi.
Mm-hmm.
And the most common technique is to grill. After fish is lightly salted or marinated in the teriyaki sauce. And also Japanese people like deep-fried fish called tempura, and usually white meat fish are deep-fried. And also other technique is to simmer fish with vegetables and a soy sauce-based soup. That's called nimono.
Okay, good. All right, I think, are we okay with this? Okay, so many techniques. So broiling, grilling, deep frying, pan frying, slicing fish raw, and boiling are very common ways that people prepare fish. You know, some fish are all, like miso is used also to cook fish, especially miso saba. Saba miso? Yeah, saba miso, yeah. Yeah, I like it. I never make it well, but I try. But anyway, that's something also cooked, boiled with miso and ginger. So that's a way to cook
it. Miso sauce.
Yeah, you add sugar or something, right? Yeah. Okay, good. So these are ways. So let's go to question 6, is about how is sake or Japanese rice wine made? And my comments about this is there's, you know, this is, when they talk about seishu and they're talking about sake and seishu, it becomes very confusing. Okay, so I would just say, you know, sake is, you know, how is sake or Japanese rice wine made? Sake is made from rice fermented koji and water. And I know if we were all sake brewers, we would say seishu and sake, but most people don't know exactly what that is. So the question is, how is it made? So sake is made from rice, fermented koji and water. Then they have all these things, these stages, phases. So rice is washed, drained, steamed, mixed with koji and water, and fermented. Then it is separated into sake and mash, M-A-S-H. They have sake kasu, which they say is what, the remains? If you are a brewer and make wine, or you make anything, whiskey or something, the remains, instead of leavings, we call mash. So maybe that's the word you might want to use. It's very easy, sake kasu or mash. Then the sake is left to stand so the sediment settles. Sediment. They have here ori, the dregs. Most of the time we say sediment, S-E-D-I-M-E-N-T. Then it is filtered, pasteurized, and cured at room temperature under 20 degrees Celsius for 6 to 12 months. And then it is blended, diluted, and bottled. You know, so there's lots of things here. So if you forget something, it's okay. You know, what I have here is people, sake is made from rice, fermented rice, koji, and water. Rice is washed, drained, which order? You know, if you don't want to say this, then sake is just basically mixed with this and left to set, and it's settled. You know, separate the sake from the mash, and then it's left to settle. And then it is, you know, blended, diluted, and bottled. So I'm not sure how your answer is going to work, but this very technical, you know, stages of making sake that's complicated. So, you know, you make it as simple as possible. Okay. And the only thing, does everyone know about this blended, diluted? Do you all know this? Remember last week I mentioned sake technically, because of tax purposes, I believe, has to be 18% alcohol. And this, what do you call, what is it? Genshu or that seishu or something. Pure sake is very strong, like 25 or something, I think. So it has to be diluted with good water, so the alcohol content is lower. And that's where they're talking about blended diluting. Okay, so what do we have for your answer? How is sake made? Okay.
Just as with the grapes used to make wine, specialized varieties, varieties of rice is used for brewing sake. It's called sakamai. It's a little larger grain than ordinary rice.
Okay.
And they are polished and steamed. And for making sake, the two types of mold are used for brewing sake. One is fermentation agent called koji, and which turns the starch in the rice into sugar. And the other one is yeast. It's a starter to produce alcohol and also brings out flavor and aroma. East.
Okay.
And the slightest change in the temperature or weather during brewing can affect the taste of sake greatly. So with great care and attention, the brewers spend about 1 month to turn the ingredients into sake.
Okay, all right, yeah, just it's very simple, but I think that's fine, because this can be a very technical and long answer, so you don't have a lot of time to say everything, so that's fine. I think they would understand that. You give good information. Okay, what's your answer? How is sake made?
Well, sake is made from rice, koji or malted rice, and water. Rice is washed, steamed, mixed with koji and water, and then fermented. The mixture is separated into sake and sake kas, which are mash. After it is pasteurized, cured at a temperature under 20 centigrade for 6 to 12 months, it is distilled, blended, and it is blended, stilled, and bottled.
Okay, blended, distilled? No, diluted.
Diluted.
Yeah. So you could just say it's diluted and bottled.
Yeah.
You know, basically this blended is out. The first part again about what is it? Rice, washed, drained, steamed, mixed with koji. Basically, this rice is cooked or steamed and mixed with koji. That's, you know, basically you could take out some of this that if you forget, it's okay. Good. And there's different, what is it, types of sake. There's what, daiginjo. Do you know what the difference is?
Daiginjo. The usual one is, the big difference is how to polish the rice corn.
Rice grain.
Rice grain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the daiginjo case, polish, so the final piece is just like this, so it's a tenth of the first grain.
Is it a tenth?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's
exaggeration.
Okay, somebody said what? I thought it was 30%? No.
50% is daiginjo.
50.
And 60% is ginjo. Daiginjo is 50%.
So half is left.
Yeah, half.
Okay. I thought it's 35 or something. But anyway, yeah. It's a very small percentage. You're left with just the very core part.
Yes.
Right. So it's polished and polished down.
It's wasting.
it is wasted.
Not eco-friendly.
Not eco-friendly, right?
Not right.
Yeah, okay. Maybe they use the polished remains for something else. I don't know. Chicken feed or something. I don't know. Okay, tell me, how is sake made?
I don't have any new information to add.
Okay, well, practice. To make, see what it sounds like. This is not an easy answer because it's complicated, so.
Sake is made from rice and fermented koji. Koji is kind of mold.
Okay, mold.
Mm-hmm. Growing on boiled rice and water. And rice is milled to a certain degree, depending on the grade of seishu.
Mm-hmm.
And wash and steamed, mixed with koji and water, and fermented. And after mixture is compressed and separated into sake and sakagasu, which is mesh, and separate sake into from the ori, it's a sediment. So after it is filtered and cured at a certain degree, centigrade, 20 centigrade for a certain period of time, then seishu is repasteurized and cured and, no. Sorry.
Repasteurized,
blended, diluted, bottles.
Okay, all right, good. Okay, how is sake made?
For production of sake, there are three major parts. That is water, rice, and fermented rice. It is called koji.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why delicious sake is produced in the place where you can get delicious water and good rice, like Niigata Prefecture in northern part of Japan.
Okay.
And the steamed, by combining steamed rice, fermented rice, koji, and water, then it is fermented.
Mm-hmm.
Then with the pressure, we will separate two, sake and mash.
Mm-hmm.
Even mash is eaten, but with a slight bake. It is delicious. And after sake, it is left to stand. Then there are again two parts, pure sake and sediment. And pure sake is pasteurized and is left for about 6 to 12 months with a degree under 20 degrees Celsius.
Okay.
Then that is again depasteurized, diluted, blended, and bottled. Then you will have pure sake seishu.
No. Not seishu. Seishu is not pure. Seishu is the pure sake. That's why you have sake.
Sake.
Okay. If you go to the brewery, they will let you taste seishu, which is strong. But when you bottle and buy it, you have to buy 18%. I think under 18%. That's we usually look at 17% on the bottle. But if you go to the sake brewery for like a visit, they will let you taste genshu, or the seishu. Okay. Good. All right, let's try one more time. How is sake made?
Sake is made from rice, fermented koji, and water. Rice is washed, steamed, mixed with koji and water, and fermented. The mixture is compressed and separated into sake and mash. Then separated again from the sediment. Pasteurized and cured at a temperature under 20 degrees for 6 to 12 months. Finally, the seishu and the sake is repasteurized, blended, diluted, and bottled.
Okay, good. All right, I think we're doing okay. Is everyone okay with this? As I say, this is a very interesting topic. Just how to make sake. We could spend a lot of time on this and studying the processes and everything. But to make a very short answer with a complicated process, I think this is okay. All right, any other questions about how sake is made?
This is not another question. But another seishu is called otoko sake because the water is different. And fushimi seishu is called onna sake.
Oh, okay. Onna sake for a different... Where is that?
The water makes a difference.
Maybe it's microphone, but... Yeah, the water makes a difference. That's what they say. Niigata is because of water and the temperature, but...
Nada no sake is Kobe.
Oh, I know. But I'm saying that's what they're saying also. Niigata because of the water's good, right? And Nada is...
Fushimi is Kyoto, don't
you know? Fushimi Kyoto? Yeah, that's where they need places with good water, right? Yeah.
That's maybe... Fushimi water is milder than Nada water.
Oh, okay. It's milder. Okay. Okay, good. All right. What we'll do is take a break. We'll come back and learn how to use chopsticks. Okay.